Luke chapter number 19. I want to begin reading with verse number 29 and read to verse number 30 and bring you the message that God has dealt with my heart about. If you would with me, stand while I read my Bible. This is the only infallible thing left in this walk of life. The Bible in Luke chapter 19. Look at verse number 29 with me. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, watch this, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto him, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. Now keep in mind, this is a colt that never a man had sat upon. And what I've learned about a colt is, before you can put anybody on him, you got to break him. And these had no breaking, no taming. Verse 35, and they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Now watch this. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you, that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, as we come before you on this glorious day, it's with a heart of gratitude. Lord, just like this congregation of disciples that rejoiced over the things they had seen, we too have seen some things you've done. And Lord, we are thankful for every good thing because it came from you. I pray your blessings upon the preaching today. Take thy servant and let my words be your words. And speak through me unto thy people. And Lord, if there be one in our midst that don't know you, I pray today will be the greatest day of their life when they will surrender to the will of God and receive Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, we're going to thank you for all these things because we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You might be seated. Zechariah 9, verse 9, prophesied that this would come to pass, that the Messiah would ride upon the foal into the city of Jerusalem. And as these verses that I've read unto you today, that event comes to pass. We as Bible students today know it as the triumphal entry of Christ. I think one of the saddest verses in the Bible is the verse where he said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But I'm glad for those that knew who he was. He asked Peter one day, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Peter said, "Some say thou art Elias, and some Jeremiah." He said, "Peter, what do you say?" Peter said, "Thou art the Son of God." And he said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Peter had it right. So this group of disciples gathers around our Lord, and they begin to chant his name. They set him upon the colt, and he rode that foal of an ass into Jerusalem. And they begin to take their clothes and cast them down and to recognize that he is the Messiah, the King of Israel. And the Bible, if you'll look with me, has a very important verse. In verse number 37, "And when he was come nigh even now to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for the mighty works that they had seen." With a loud voice. One of the tragedies of our day and time is that the ball field is the loudest place on this earth. We've learned to rejoice when our team scores. I couldn't help but a while ago think about my Sunday school teacher for about 10 years. Was my medical doctor. And Dr. Dixon had a medical clinic at Duke University. And he's a big time Kentucky fan. And they gave him a tour. And they walked into this single room. And all that was in that room was a focus on the shot of Leitner. The whole room. And they asked Dr. Dixon, "What do you think of that?" And Dr. Dixon said, "If you had more championships, you wouldn't have room to do this in the whole room by itself." I couldn't help but throw that in. But that's the loudest place on earth. But according to what is said in this verse, the loudest place on this earth ought to be the house of God.
Amen.
It's still all right to amen an old-time preacher.
Amen.
It's still all right to praise God in the company of the songs of Zion. We've got a tradition going on in our nation where the church has become a quiet place observing what goes on with speculism. But it ought not to be that way. These people with a loud voice begin to praise God for the mighty works that they have seen. Mighty works. Like he saved my soul.
Amen.
Thank God I don't have to go to hell. Amen.
Amen.
That's something worth rejoicing over and praising God. Why, if your uncle were to pass away, God help it not happen. But if he left you in his will, you wouldn't say, my uncle died and he left me $1 million. No. You'd say, my uncle died, but he left me $1 million. Amen. There would be some volume in your voice because of the mighty thing that you're talking about. God's people are to be the loudest people on the face of this earth today. We ought to be busy rejoicing over what God has done in our life. You don't say, well, I don't have to go to hell. No. You say it like, I'm glad I don't have to die and go to hell today. Hallelujah to God. Heaven's going to be my home. The old preacher said, the pay ain't much, but the retirement's out of this world. Amen. I tell you, there needs to be some volume back in the house of God. But every time we seem to get a group of people convinced to praise God for what he's done, the skeptics show up. And they teach us in their seminars and in their Bible schools. That ain't the way we do it. That's undignified. Well, leave me alone, honey. I'm saved and on my way to heaven. My sins have been forgiven. My name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a mansion on Golden Avenue waiting for my arrival. Why would I not rejoice and praise God for the mighty works that he hath done? Because I am the recipient of his mighty works. Everything God has done, he had you in mind. As a matter of fact, at the end of that movie, Field of Dreams, when Kevin Costner walked out and his dad was sitting there with the catcher's mitt and the guard on his chest plate, and the voice came back to him again and said, it was you. He said, no, it was you. He said, it was you. You know what God says this morning? It's you. It's always been you. And it shall always be for you. Everything that God has ever done, He had you in mind. When He made Mars, He made it for you. When He made the Milky Way, He made it for you. When He made the dark holes, the black holes, that we don't understand even how they work today, He made it for you. Everything God has ever done, He had you in mind. When He went yonder to Calvary, it was you that He had upon His heart. When He comes in those eastern skies and parts the clouds, it will be for you once again. How can you not, with a loud voice, rejoice and praise God for the mighty works that you have seen? But the skeptics came and they said, calm them down. They're too vocal. Jesus said, I believe with a smile. He said, I tell you, that if these hold their peace, the rocks in the mountains shall cry out. You know what Jesus was saying there? He was saying, a rock can talk. He said, I'm so much God, I can teach a rock to talk. Amen. That's what He said. Why, that's not a great revelation. God has always spoke of rocks. It was in a rock when Israel was in the wilderness that Moses smote the rock and spoke to the rock, and the Bible said water came out. Fresh, cool spring drinking water came out of a rock and watered a nation in a desert. God did that. He taught that rock to give water. Moses got discouraged one day, and sometimes independent Baptists do that to you. Smile at me. And he went up into the mountain and said, God, I just can't take it anymore. I can't lead them anymore. God said, what is that by your side? He said, it's a cleft in a rock. He said, get down in the cleft of the rock. And Moses bound himself in that cleft. And God laid His big old hand over the top of it and caused Himself to pass by. When He had passed by, He removed His hand and let Moses see the backside of God. Moses said, I'll lead you people. That's enough. I'll do it. He was taught from a rock. And the psalmist said it like this. I waited patiently for the Lord. And He inclined unto me and heard my cry and brought me up also out of the horrible pit and set my feet upon a rock. That rock we learn in the New Testament is Jesus. I'm preaching today because I'm standing on a rock. But those critics were there, and they're here today too. They're out there. They don't like you to make too much noise. They don't even like for you to show up at the voting poll. They get nervous when you vote. Because you want undignified men like Donald Trump. Amen. We want our nation back. We want our country to bow down to God and walk with Him. We are. In spite of what the media says, we are a Christian nation. And it still says on our currency, in God in whom we trust. We have our history baptized with Christianity. God help this generation to maintain what we have inherited from our forefathers. I couldn't help but think as Lighthouse Baptist Church presses on into the future, remember your heritage and what God has done to make this ministry possible today. But God worded it like this. If you do quit, and if you fail to give me praise, I'm just going to teach a rock to talk. I'm going to get praise. I'm going to get honor. I'll teach that rock to praise me. So I get concerned sometimes. Am I doing it right? Am I praising Him the way He deserves to be praised? Well, He said that if I'm not doing it right, the rock will cry out and praise Him. So little rock, if Lighthouse Baptist Church is not doing it right, you go ahead and help yourself. I'll quit. I'll pause. Go ahead, little rock. Praise God. Thank God we must be doing something right. The rocks are quiet. Amen. God will help me for a few minutes now. I want to preach on. We must be doing something right. The rocks are still quiet. Go ahead, little rock. The silence of the rock testifies today that there's nothing wrong with the way you're praising the God of heaven. Just lift up your voice. And it did say in verse 37, with a loud voice. And praise Him. The rock is quiet. So don't let anybody tell you you're doing it wrong. I remember my first prayer. I remember getting down beside my bed and saying, Lord, I ain't ever done this before. I don't know how to do it, but there's something I want to talk to you about. And I prayed to Him for the very first time. Well, the rocks are quiet, so there's nothing wrong with our praising. But the rocks are quiet because there's nothing wrong with our praying. We're doing it right. We're doing what the Bible teaches us to do. We're praying to the God of heaven that He would bless the needs of my family. And the rocks are quiet because there's nothing wrong with your prayer life. You just keep on praying. Keep on begging God. Praise Him for what He has done. Pray to Him for what He's going to do. I remember when I pastored down in Alabama, I led a young man to the Lord named Eddie Smith. Eddie was, if you can believe it, more country than I am. He was so country that when Eddie walked up to you, he said, "How you doing, son? Doing all right today, son?" He wouldn't dare look at you. Eddie got saved. I baptized him. He came over to my house one day, and I had my family altar at the foot of my bed. And Eddie said, "Son, what's that?" I said, "That's where my family prays. It's called the family altar." He said, "Can I have one of them?" I said, "Why, sure. You just look at mine, go build one. It'll fit right in at the foot of your bed. That'll be your family altar." Now I have a rock altar in my room, and I pray on that rock altar. But Eddie came back and said, "Son, I built me an altar." I said, "You did." He couldn't wait. He wanted me to come and see his altar. I got jealous. It looked a whole lot better than mine. He was a carpenter. And he built that altar just perfect. And it slid to the foot of his bed. He said to me, "Son, I've been getting down on that altar." I said, "What's happening?" He said, "He's been talking back." I said, "What did he say?" He said, "I believe he said, I want you to be a preacher like Brother Hatfield's a preacher." Boy, I had me a rupture. Closest thing to a rapture. Glory to God. Eddie, you said God called you to preach. I got up Sunday at my church and I said, "Eddie, come here." He stood there, head down, trembling. I said, "Eddie told me that he couldn't talk to you right now, but he wanted me to tell you God called him to preach." My church erupted. Amens, hallelujahs, glory to God. They were so proud of Eddie. And I said, "Eddie, I want you to preach your first sermon here at the church." He said, "Son, I don't know about that. I don't know if I can do it." I said, "He'll help you." I said, "I'll tell you what, let's start out with testimony service. Every Wednesday night I let my people testify." And I said, "You get up there and you be in charge of the testimony service. That'll get you used to being up in front of people." Literally, church, Eddie got up there. "Anybody want to testify?" And they begin to stand. "Eddie, I'm so proud of you. Eddie, I thank God for what He's doing in your life." People that knew him back there, that old drunk said, "I never dreamed that you would be standing up there like this." My church fell in love with Eddie Smith. One Wednesday night I said, "Brother Eddie, come on now and do our testimony service." And Brother Eddie stood up in the back of the church and said, "Brother Hatfield, if it'll be all right with you, I reckon I'll just preach tonight." And I had me a spell. with a loud voice over the great things I had seen the Lord do. And Eddie got up there and he said, "No, I won't do this like Brother Hatfield. I never done it before. But let me show you what God showed me at work the other day." And boy, that fainter went to pointing. He began to walk around upon that platform. And then he began to preach the Word of God. And God blessed him and used him for the glory of God. I only pastored 3.5 years. I've been an evangelist ever since. That's the only preacher ever come out of my ministry. And I'm so proud of Brother Eddie Smith. Are we doing all right? Are we doing it right, church? Are we pleasing Him? We must be, because the rocks are quiet. I want you to leave this place and get you a rock and put it in your pocket. And every time you get opportunity, pull that rock out and say to, "Am I loving Him the way He deserves to be loved? If I'm not, you go ahead, little rock." When that rock don't speak, you have yourself a spell. Church, I just wanted to say to you, on our anniversary Sunday of 25 years, you must be doing something right. The rocks are quiet. Let's stand and bow for prayer. We're going to prepare an invitation. Maybe that little rock spoke to you this morning, because you know you have not been magnifying the Lord with your life. I want you to step out of your pew and come and kneel in this altar and get things right with God. Father, we thank You for this time. Have an invitation. Bless it now. Draw the people unto Thyself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.